welcome to Awaken Podcast. I hope you enjoy the teaching.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jenna. If we haven't met, I'm the executive pastor here at Awaken. Happy Easter to you. It's a big day. Well, I wanted to begin with a reflection this morning and a call to worship. I'm curious who saw the sunrise this morning? Okay, a couple people. For those of you who were peacefully sleeping, it was a really good one. It was blue and purple and pink and orange and yellow. The kind of sunrise that you maybe stop and pause and take it in for a minute. It made me do that this morning. And sometimes when something beautiful like that happens on a day like this, feels a little bit like maybe God knows what day it is. And then, in a moment, just because of how I am, my heart and mind went to Gaza, and it went to Haiti, and it went to Syria, and all of these places in the world that are experiencing violence and suffering and really terrible things. And it made me hope and wonder if they got a sunrise like that this morning. Like, what does the claim of resurrection look like? What's the texture and tone in those places? Is it possible that that's maybe the thing that helps you get up? And so, even as we gather, there's a lot in the room. Some of you are maybe joyful and anticipatory of what happens and would wish the pastor would stop talking about sad things. Some of you maybe are grieving and sad and don't know how to hold this claim of resurrection. And maybe some of you don't even know why you're in the room. Welcome. We're glad you're here. If you are able, would you please stand for a call to worship this morning? This is a book of blessings entitled The Circle of Grace by Jan Richardson. This is entitled Risen. If you are looking for a blessing, do not linger here. Here is only emptiness, a hollow, a husk where blessing used to be. This blessing was not content in its confinement. It could not abide its isolation, the unrelenting silence, the pressing stench of death. So if it is a blessing you seek, open your own mouth. Fill your lungs with the air this new morning brings, and then release it with a cry. Hear how the blessing breaks forth in your own voice, how your own lips form every word you never dreamed to say. See how the blessing circles back again, wanting you to repeat it, but louder. How it draws you, pulls you, sends you to proclaim its only word. Risen. Risen. Risen.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Easter at Awaken. I was once told about Awaken. A person was reflecting on our church, and they were telling their friend about it, and they said, yeah, you know, Awaken, there's not a pressed shirt in the house. I think you guys look pretty good this morning, you know? We got bow ties, we got pink, you guys, we're looking good. So, my name's Micah, I'm one of the pastors here at Awaken, and I'm really, really glad that you're with us. We would love for you to let us know that you were here. If you're new, if you're just checking out the church, there's some cards in the seat pockets in front of you or the pews there. You can also go online to our website, awakencommunity.com. Fill that out. Somebody from our team will reach out and invite you to a beverage of your choice. We can get to know each other and go from there. A couple things we want to let you know that are happening, the first of which is Discover Awaken. So April 14th, in a couple of weeks. We offer this every couple of months or so for new people at Awaken. So it's a lunch after the second hour. And it gives you an opportunity to hear a little bit more about the church and kind of why we do what we do, the way we do it, and gives us to get a chance to get to know you a little bit. So if you could let us know if you're interested in coming to that, we can have lunch available and ready for you. Also, there is a pancake breakfast coming. How many of you went to a pancake breakfast like at a church growing up, you know? think that downstairs in our basement. It's going to happen. April 22nd is Earth Day, and so that weekend, the city of St. Paul does like a citywide kind of neighborhood cleanup. And so we've put those two things together, and that'll happen on Saturday, the 21st of April. There's two opportunities there for you. If you would like to volunteer and help make that happen, we still need some folks to do that, so you can sign up online. And if you want to come and eat pancakes and bacon and all the other things, and then head out and help clean up the neighborhood, you can sign up for that as well. It'd be difficult for you to do both, but, you know, you're special people, so maybe you could do it. And then one last thing I want to let you know about. This is not on the announcement official, but you guys, we now have an Awaken app. Can you believe this? We've moved into the 21st century, so you can use that. If you call Awaken Home, I would encourage you, if you want to, you can download it. Apple and Google, both of them. And evidently, I was told there's like a TV bit on there as well, so you can put it on your TV at home. I mean, this is nuts, you guys. It's crazy. That's as far as we'll go, though. I promise that's as far as we're going to go. So I've joked about the bus bench. You know, if you ever see my face on a bus bench, you should just know I've lost my mind. That still is true. That's still true. So the app is as far as we're going to go. Jenna said it. I want to reiterate just like the warmest welcome possible. We have been thinking about you all and anticipating your presence here today. We have like overflow set up waiting for folks. If we were too full, we learned a few lessons from Christmas. And I just want to extend like the warmest welcome to you. You could be anywhere today, and you're here. You chose to be here with us. And maybe somebody invited you. Maybe you call this place home. Maybe you just needed to find a church to go to. However you make your way here and find yourself here, we're really glad that you're here and you're with us. So thank you. I started with this question last year, and I was thinking about, like, you know, do you repeat an Easter idea? And I say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? And nobody remembers anything I say anyways. So maybe that's not totally true, but I don't remember a lot of things pastors that I listened to said, so maybe you don't remember this. The question that I want to start with is, are you open? Like, are you open to this, to what's happening here in this place? Are you open to the possibility that you haven't seen or heard or learned everything there is to see and hear and learn? Are you open to the possibility that maybe for you, like, there even is a God? Like, we're talking about a pretty significant idea, right? That a human being died and rose from the dead. Are you open to that possibility? If maybe you're a little skeptical of it, and I'll put myself in that category. I remember I had like a major crisis about 8 years ago, you know, coming up to Easter, and I was like, I don't know if I believe that that's true. That's a, like, metaphysically, there's a lot going on there, you know what I mean? Maybe you're in that camp, I don't know. Maybe you're here and, you know, you've said yes to Jesus, you're a follower of Jesus, you're a Christian, and maybe there's still yet something for you here this morning. So are you open to the possibility that God has something for you? Because I think if we're honest, and I think if I'm honest, Easter and church and religion and, you know, this whole bit, it's a mixed bag for lots of people. We come with a whole bunch of different experiences around church and coming to this place on this day. So I want to just set a couple of things straight and maybe rest your hearts at ease. A couple things I'm not going to do, in case you were wondering, like, is this going to happen at this church service? I'm not sure. Let me tell you. I'm not going to manipulate you or your emotions to try to get you to do something you don't want to do. I'm also not going to be giving away anything of value so that you like me or our church or God, right? There are no TVs, there are no cars, there are no iPads, only just an app. That's all we're giving away today, all right? Some folks do that, that's fine, you know, but that's just kind of not how I roll, so that will not be happening. I'm not gonna tell you what a horrible person you are and how desperately lost you are and even that you need to be saved. I'm actually not even going to try to convince you of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Which maybe you're thinking, like, isn't that the pastor's job today? I would rather have an honest conversation with you and share from my own experience why I think that this story is as compelling as I think it is. Why I think it's worth our time and energy and effort to seriously consider the things that are being said. So I hope that that's my intention this morning. And to do that, I want to start from a passage in 2 Corinthians. Paul writes a letter to a church in Corinth, And I want to start there. By the way, I have a stand for my stand here. We got a lot going on up here, and this is lower, and I need new glasses. I need a new prescription. I lost my glasses the other day, and my wife's like, you need a new prescription, Micah, because you keep doing this. That means you can't see with your glasses. And I was like, I know, I do. And I just ordered them again on Zinni. So I have the same glasses that I used to have, and I didn't go to the doctor. So I need a stand for my stand. In case you're wondering, like, what is he doing up there with that thing? I can't see my notes, all right? I'm 47, so there you go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is writing a letter to a church, a group of people like you and like me. And he offers some ideas about this event that he believed happened, right? That Jesus, this person who lived and died on a cross and was resurrected from the dead, he's writing to them and he's offering some thoughts and his pastoral wisdom for them. So I'd invite you to stand in body or in spirit for the reading of the word this morning. And then we'll see what comes from that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. It's not just a good band name, it's actually in the Bible. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Then he says this, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Pray with me if you would. God, this morning, as we take a moment to consider these words that were written thousands of years ago and this event that I believe happened, I pray that by your Spirit, you would move and do what you seem to always do. Come near to us and whisper our names, remind us of who we are, call us, invite us into the people, the community, the humans that you have created us to be, I pray. Increasingly that might happen in us as we say yes to and participate in this life and death and resurrection as Paul encourages. So I pray that would be true for us today in the strong name of Christ and by the power of the Spirit. The church said together, amen, amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you know this or not, but I am a notorious overpacker. So when I go on a trip, those who are close to me know that I often pack way more than I need to pack. And I pack things that you probably wouldn't think you should pack. So, for example, when I go to conferences and I'm with my friends, I will often come arriving with like a full cocktail kit to make drinks for people, because this is one of the things I like to do. And people are like, you brought your own shaker and your own jigger? And I'm like, yes, I did. And you will thank me later for bringing this. I often bring like a coffee brewing system, like a little travel coffee brewing system, because I am one of those people that would rather drink good coffee than bad coffee. People say that's a coffee snob. I don't think so. I think that's just smart, people. If given the option, you had bad coffee or good coffee, would you choose better coffee? Yes. You know, some people are like, no, diner coffee, it's all I need. God bless you. I love you. That's fine. If given the option, I will make my own good coffee. So I bring that. And I have left, because I'm an overpacker, I have clothes strewn about not only this country, but this world. I have left a pair of jeans in Ireland because I was like, you know, I'm kind of done with these jeans and I don't want to bring them home again. So I just left them in the hotel for whoever found them. And this is recent, guys. This is not like something I've grown out of, you know. Just recently, I was in Phoenix, and you know, in warmer climates, in a shopping mall or a grocery store parking lot, they have these big giant bins that you can deposit thrift store donations to. So I am literally like pulling at in Phoenix. I put a pair of shoes in there because I was like, I'm done with these shoes, you know, a jacket and a sweatshirt and a pair of pants. All. Why do I tell you all this? This doesn't matter if you're going to roll a cart through the airport, right? It's like, oh, no big deal. But if you have to carry the things that you're packing, then it matters because every ounce counts for those who have been on the Camino or traveled a backpacking trip. And if you bring it, you have to carry it. And so I have left clothes on the Camino because you have to carry it in your backpack. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't know I didn't need this. I brought it, but I don't need it. And so I've left things all across the world. Now, Socrates once said that the unexamined life is not worth living. Maybe you've heard this phrase before. So today, what's about to happen right now is not like a big rah-rah cheerleader, there are no lights or fireworks or anything, kind of Easter sermon. Just a measured, hopefully thoughtful engagement with this idea. I want to offer a couple of observations, ask a couple of questions, and then a few implications if in fact this is true. The Bible, this book, tells a lot of stories. I don't know how much you've read it or how familiar you are with it, but there are lots of stories. There's 66 books in this collection. But as you read it, I would suggest that you find it actually is telling a story. Like one big, large story, which is about the human story, the human condition, like who we are as humans. This is their story, but as I've read it, I've actually found out it's somewhat my story. It's our story. And one of the observations I have made is that I am not who I want to be. And I'm not going to ask any of you to volunteer yourselves, but I think I could probably say that we are not who we want to be. Even if I want to be a person of generosity and of compassion, who's calm and measured, filled with grace and love, like inevitably, given enough time, I will eventually choose myself over you. I will eventually turn to anger instead of grace and calm and cool and collected, right? I will even choose judgment and hate in my worst moments. I remember when my kids were young, my oldest, actually, I was sick, ill in bed, and my oldest, Hadley, decided to come and, you know, say hello to Dad. And they just wanted to be near their dad, evidently. And so they came in and they jumped on the bed. And in doing so, they jumped in a particular spot that was really vital for the future generations of Withams. And I shot out of bed, as you might imagine, being surprised by this and physically harmed. And I just screamed, "What the hell?" H-E-double hockey sticks to my, like, six-year-old. And I remember the look of terror in their face, like, to this day. Like, And I thought to myself, who are you? Like, who does that to their child? I played golf with a friend of mine, and he invited his dad to come and play with us. You know, very, someone I respect, and then he invites his dad to come and play with Pastor Micah. Some of you know where this is going. You know me. My children and the golf course are the two things that can really trip my trigger. And I played terrible that day, and I spent like 4 hours, 18 holes of golf, just making an absolute idiot of myself. And I got to the end of it, and I was just like, what are you doing? Like, I keep doing these things that I don't want to do. I had to, like, write him a letter afterwards. I felt so terrible. Like, I am not who I want to be. Can I get an amen? Does anybody else sense that in the room? The fact remains, I'm not who I want to be, and that leads to all kinds of death and dying things in me. And these come out in all kinds of ways in my relationships and in my leadership and in my world, in my neighborhood, and it happens all around us, right? The Bible calls that sin, traditionally, you know, where we choose to live outside of, or we choose to not step into who God's made us to be. And we choose to satisfy our own desires even though it's good for us. And I am not who I want to be. That's one observation I've made. And the second observation I've made as I've read this story is that I have to carry that around all the time, right? Like, whether that's something I've said or done or didn't do or didn't say, something that a relationship that blew up or a failure in my job, of which there were very few, maybe something that I want to say no to but I can't say no to, like, I just end up carrying those things around with me. And again, the scriptures tell a lot of stories, but one of the stories that they tell is this story about humanity, and it's one that shows that we seem to not be able to shake this. We seem to not be able to remedy the situation. Like, I have tried very hard to not become angry. I'm going to therapy, I'm doing EMDR, I'm trying to figure out why these neural pathways are so well-worn, it's like a 7-lane highway in my head. But I keep doing it, and I have to carry that around. I remember when I was a young youth pastor, you know, 20-something, very vibrant and full of zeal, over-eager, my wife called me. And I had a boss who I'm a free spirit, you know. I need a little bit of extra rope to do well as an employee. And this new boss that I got was a type A driver, you know, like A plus B equals C, linear sequential, you know, and I'm a free spirit, right? So it was just like nails on a chalkboard all the time. And eventually that came to a head, and I go in for my mid-year review, and I received a performance improvement plan. Anybody ever been here before? Yeah, that's a tough day. That's a tough day. It was like a six-page letter that read more like a personality improvement plan. And I was like, these are all the things you suck at, and I'd like you to become better at them. And I remember things that were written in that letter. I can, like, see it in my mind's eye. You know, like, you are not a good teacher. You're not a good leader. You should probably just do music and creative things, and we'll kind of lean into that. You guys, so this is my backpack right here, and I carry this everywhere I go. Like, when I leave in the morning, I put on my backpack like I'm going to lunch as like a elementary school kid. And inside my backpack, this isn't the same one, but the other one had the same thing. There's a spot for my, you know, stuff, my Bible. I'm a pastor, after all. My journal, you know, because I'm so thoughtful and reflective and contemplative. And then there's another spot where you could put like files, you know, and they're kind of safe in your backpack. I, not metaphorically, I literally for 2.5 years carried around that personality improvement plan on my back. Everywhere I went. It was like I just couldn't let go of it. It was like I was a massive, like I was just like a glutton for punishment. And I literally carried that thing around for 2.5 years. That the weight of that. I almost didn't plant this church because of that letter. Like I believe that I shouldn't do this. And it wasn't until some friends who loved me enough to gather me and say, like, dude, you gotta stop. You got to get rid of that. And so in the ceremony one night in my backyard, we burned that. But I literally carried it around for 2.5 years. The question I want to ask you this morning is, which things do you want to carry? This is what I think Paul is getting at in this letter. Paul seems to think we have a choice. That we can carry around all the bitterness, all the anger, all the hurts, all the harms, all the scars, all the wounds, and we can carry those things. And they are deaths and dying happening inside of us. But Paul seems to think that there is an alternative option that has something to do with this Jesus guy who died and resurrected. And he says, you can participate in his death and then also participate in that resurrection thing, that new emerging life that happened to him. Paul seems to think it's possible for you and for me. So my question to you this morning is, which death do you want to carry? Which death do you want to participate in? And I really do think you get to choose on this one. I think you have free will, and you get to decide which one of these things you want to carry around. Now, to the skeptics in the room, convincing you that somebody died isn't that hard, but convincing you that somebody resurrected from the dead is a little more difficult. But if you think about it, you guys, which I spend a lot of time doing because I love and hate this Sunday. It's my favorite and my least favorite at the same time. I have to figure out a way to talk about resurrection, and so I spend a lot of time thinking about it. And I was wondering, like, I think it's actually more common than we think it is. We're like, resurrection from the dead, like, that's hard. That's, like, seriously, that's a big deal. But it's everywhere, you guys. It is everywhere. Every year, we experience life, death, and resurrection in the seasons that change. Like this flower right here, this daffodil, which is so lovely, beautiful, amazing. It was a seed buried in the ground, cold and hard and dead. Do you remember winter? Never forget. It appears that it's dead. And then, miraculously, every year, it pushes up through the ground. Something inside of that seed says, we are not done. There is life in there, and it pops up through the ground against all odds, right? You've seen the crocus pictures where they literally there's snow on the ground, and the crocus flowers are like, oh, no, we are coming up. It's everywhere. It's like the pattern of the universe, the moon. Every month, it appears that it's gone. It's like invisible. And then it just slowly, slowly grows until in its fullness, it hangs in the sky like a giant globe in all of its wonder. And then it wanes and it goes away again. And it just keeps happening every single month. Death and rebirth. To the women in the room, you know this very well. Literally in your bodies, life the possibility for life and death every month. The stars. If you study the stars, which I don't do a lot of, but I've read a little bit about them, they do this too. They grow and expand and then explode in a, you know, like blaze of glory, and then it just happens again. Every plant you've ever eaten, you guys, has died and was resurrected, right? A seed went into the ground, it came up, it bore fruit, it gave it to you, it gave up its life for you. Wow, that's fascinating. And you were nourished by it, and then the seeds fell back to the ground, and they did it again. It is everywhere, all around, all the time. So the question is, like, did Jesus get resurrected from the dead? I can't totally prove that to you, but it looks like it's a pattern in the universe, so I'm not surprised if it happened to him. Richard Rohr says this: Jesus' first incarnate life, his passing over into death, and his resurrection into the ongoing Christ life is the archetypal model for the entire pattern of creation. He is the microcosm of the whole cosmos. He is the map for the whole journey. I love that. What happened to him is happening all around us. So I want to ask a question. Did resurrection happen? And is it happening all around us all the time? I want to actually read for you the account from Mark's gospel, because I think you can't go to Easter service and not actually hear the story told. So I don't know if you'd like to close your eyes. I love to imagine that I'm there. So if you want to, feel free to close your eyes and just listen to this account. This is Mark 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after the sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Do not be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell the disciples and Peter, he's gone on ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Do you know that's actually where Mark's gospel ends? In your Bible, there's a bunch more verses. That was added later. That's how the story ended for Mark, which I think is a fitting and appropriate response to seeing that happen. A little trembled, a little bewildered, a lot of questions. Friends, I can't prove that it happened with 100% certainty. I wasn't there. If any of you can, I'd love to hear it. But none of us were. But I have more reason to believe that it did than it didn't. And I want to ask a question, maybe that's bigger than that, which is, did resurrection happen, and is it happening all around us all the time? I think that it is. I can only testify from my own life that I have said yes to this, not I am not who I want to be. I have said yes to, like, letting those things die, and said yes by faith to this idea of Jesus' death and resurrection and new life. And I'll tell you that I have experienced new life in my own heart, in my own body, in my own experience. I have been transformed and changed because of my faith and belief in that. And I believe it as if it's true, which is what faith is. And if that's true, then, like, a couple of implications as we close. One of the questions that I think people ask all the time is, like, what is God like? How do we know what God is like, and can God even be trusted? You know, you see war and terrible things happening in the world, and maybe you, like me, are like, how is this possible? In Jesus, in the resurrection, in this moment, like, a giant announcement has been made that, like, this is what God is like in Jesus. The disciples ask him, "We want to see God." And Jesus says, "If you've seen me, you know what God is like." And so we know, because of this moment, because of who Jesus is, God is always motivated by other-oriented sacrificial love. Do we need more or less of that? God is always, God has the power to conquer death, right? And the grave, and make new things after death. Resurrection. We know that sin and brokenness and darkness and evil, it gets our word, but it doesn't get the last word. We know that that God is for the broken and the oppressed and the lonely and is in Emmanuel, like with us, incarnate, here, present. In Jesus, we know what God looks like. And then secondly, one of the implications of this is like, you don't have to carry the things you're carrying anymore. Paul seems to think that you get to choose, and I would agree with Paul. You can choose to hold on to these things and try to like make your way through the world on your own. And I would just say, like, I feel bad. Because that is a daunting task that cannot be done. Paul seems to think we can say yes to participate. We can take the I am not who I want to be, and we can let those parts of us die with Jesus and participate not only in his death, but then in his resurrection. As this resurrection power, this mystery, this thing that's happening all around us all the time is at work in me and in you. And so I would leave you with this. And this is a participatory thing, friends. There's an author, a guy named Andrew Rillera, who says this. Jesus' death is a participatory phenomenon. It is something that we are called to share in experientially. It happened and it happens. It's happening. We're doing it daily. The logic is not Jesus died so we don't have to. Rather, it is Jesus died so that we together can follow in his steps and die with him and like him, having full fellowship with his suffering so that we might share in the likeness of his resurrection. In short, while Jesus did die for us on some levels, this does not mean Jesus died instead of us. That part of me that I am not who I want to be needs to die. And I can either hang on to that and hold on to it, or I can let it die with Jesus and his death and say yes by faith to whatever happened there on Easter morn and say yes to it happening in me. So my question for you this morning is that. Nobody gets out of here without having to carry stuff. Nobody gets out of here without having to carry stuff. What do you want to carry? The invitation, the irony of the gospel, of Easter. Irony is like when you use words that think they mean something else. The irony of Easter is that like life actually requires death. And so, what do you want to carry? What will you carry? Paul seems to think we participate in the death of Jesus and surrender all of the I am not who I want to be, to die with him so that, like him, something new and of eternal life might be born in me. Again, thank you for being with us. I hope that you leave invited into this mystery, this power, this thing that happened and is happening all around us. And as you do, that you experience the love and the power of God in your life. That you become more and more, with increasing degrees, the people, the person that you were created to be in Christ. So go with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the church said together, amen. The kids are done, so happy Easter. See you later.
Find us online at www.awakencommunity.com
or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/awakencommunity
or on Twitter at awakencommunity.
See you next time.